Hey, everybody. It's Allegedly with me, Matt, and special guest host who was on as a guest recently. We had great numbers.
Really?
So we're bringing you back.
Can
yes.
Can you believe it?
Mr. Josh Peck is back here, and he's filling in for Theo, who's out of town. And Josh, thank you for coming.
I'm honored.
And everybody probably wants an update from the last episode. Josh and I have become friends.
It's official.
It's official. I really have his number, and we've hung out, and it's genuine. I'm not stalking him. I think it's like...
Yeah.
It's like two ways now, right?
It's a little bit of it's a little bit of Stockholm syndrome on my part.
There you go.
I've fallen in love with my captor.
Oh, no. I'm doing everything I can to like bring him. I'm like having to meet my family, and I'm like bringing him into the court. Go to my favorite restaurants.
Matt has a lovely family, and his brother too shares his love for chain restaurants.
Exactly. So thank you for coming in. Theo is. I don't know where he's.
Oh, who cares?
Enough
exactly. With this, Theo.
Although he was when he found out who today's guest was, who I've been telling him for weeks.
Right.
And he didn't put two and two together that he was an MTV Challenge guy,
right.
Which Theo's background. He was very disappointed that he wasn't here, to be honest. Anyway, so yes, Gus Kenworthy's coming in. Seriously, when we started the podcast, he was on my list. I made a list of people that I wanted to get in, and he was one of them. I mean, granted, he's like in my top five, like next to Nick Jonas and Liam
really?
Hemsworth's up there. And like he is in there.
I'm ready to see the sparks fly because I know it's coming.
You're going to have to literally, like if I do anything offensive, like please hold me back.
You will.
I know.
Just make peace with it now. You're going to do something you're going to regret. I'm going to be embarrassed
but
and
maybe
feel
it'll work.
Awkward, but maybe.
Hey, maybe. And also, there's a chance that this guy I've kind of become buddies with on Twitter, Colton Underwood, who is a football player who played for Eagles, Chargers, Raiders, and I just hit him up.
God, you sound so butch talking
you know?
God.
And the Phillies? No. And he...
the Ducks?
I hit him up on Facebook, I mean on Twitter, because he's like gorgeous, like gorgeous. Like Gus is gorgeous as well, but he's like got tattoos and he has a beard. This guy is like pretty boy, like the definition of like pretty boy gorgeous.
So your type. Like would hook up with you and then be mean to you after.
Exactly.
Right.
You got it.
I
have a funny story about that.
Oh, good.
We'll get to that. But how have you been? You good? How's married life?
Married life is great. I'm 3 weeks in.
Mm-hmm.
She still likes me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's domestic life. It's good. I'm a square. I'm coming to realize that.
I kind of got that.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about you.
Look, I feel like you and I are just two old Jewish ladies stuck in 30-something Jewish men
bodies. We are, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go on a honeymoon?
We did. We went to Cabo for 3 days.
3 days?
We only went for 3 days. It wasn't long, but we got to go with John Stamos and his beautiful girlfriend.
I did not know that.
Yes. So it was sort of a tandem it was a honeymoon for us and just a vacation for them.
So like you coupled it with John Stamos and girlfriend?
Yeah.
Like couple vacation?
It was so lovely of
him. That's another step of a relationship.
We're close.
Wow.
We are close. There's a good chance that if I text him now, I would get a response in the next 6 to 8 hours.
Well, do me a favor, ask him to come on my podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure he would love to.
Wow. Well, was it fun? Was it a good trip?
Yeah, it was great. We just did what people do, you know, on vacation. We ate too much and, you know, just enjoyed. It was beautiful.
So no regrets on this marriage thing. You're loving it.
No, I bought pharmaceuticals in Mexico that I brought back to America, some Mexican Z-Packs.
Perfect.
In case I need some antibiotics.
That's very Jewish of you too.
It was
well.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah. I was tempted to buy some Mexican Viagra, but I restrained myself.
Well, I certainly won't need it.
No.
When we get Gus Kenworthy in and possibly Colton Underwood.
So what happens if you get Gus's number? Like what, I mean, just if by chance you can secure the digits.
Well, I have to find out. He's in a serious relationship that he's been in for a while, which doesn't necessarily mean, because I saw he did an interview, and in the interview he said something along the lines of like, I'm kind of open to exploring other stuff, and my boyfriend's kind of okay with that. So honestly, when I was, this is God's honest truth, before you got here, and I was like, oh, he's coming to the Comedy Store, like, I was like, I'm going to pull up Grindr just in case, you know, like, he's right here, and he's like, and I'm like, maybe he's like a fake profile or something, but whoever's like close enough, I'll hit them up and see, maybe it's him.
Solid.
And I did, but it wasn't him.
Matt's meeting some man named Gary around 7 o'clock tonight.
Oh, that's my dad's name.
Oh,
weirdo.
No.
So the point is, if I get his number, Oh my God. I can't even believe it's a possibility. It's like Christmas.
Basically, West Hollywood, California, if you see a man just sort of hovering down Sunset Boulevard, it means Matt got Gus's number.
I'm going to create an app that it just locates Gus Kenworthy, wherever he is.
Oh my God.
For myself.
You and Gus adopt a baby? God.
That would be my... That's not right.
You'd be the hottest dad. Oh no, Matt got sad.
All right, let's Matt get him in sad. Here. Yeah,
I guess
just got sad. You just hit something like wow. serious, like because now it's real.
What a chord!
Like I really want a baby, and I really want a relationship, and he's really with someone else, and
for now
he's really out of my league
for today.
For today. So let's see what we can do.
Look,
great. All right, let's get this guy in here. We'll be right back.
Dude,
yes.
Guess what?
What?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Bob's Burgers.
What am I guessing?
Futurama.
Okay.
Rick and Morty.
Yes.
Those are all the things that are in July's Loot Crate.
I really love Loot Crate. You do? I really do. I genuinely think it's a really cool thing, and it's one of those things. Loot Crate, we've been doing it for a little while now. They give you like little knickknacks or whatnot, shirts or
nostalgia,
little memorabilia,
paraphernalia,
whatever. And it's things that you put on your desk, you put around, and they make you happy when you see it.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't take that much.
Yeah, things you can wear, little things. It's just you're amazed at how many things that you remember from films or series from your childhood, and then also things from new series like Guardians of the Galaxy, Goonies. It's always a surprise.
At my desk at work, I have my little Wolverine figurine, mm-hmm. and I have the Rocky or the raccoon from Guardians.
Oh yeah, Groot and
yeah, and so like Big. They make me happy when I just see them. You know, just sitting there, they're cool. So, you know, and I wear my Goonies T-shirt all the time. Wow. I wore it in Africa.
Did you really?
Yeah, I wore
my.
Did
they know it? Has it gotten there yet?
They call it. That's what it was called there.
No, that's.
But
well,
then again, that's what everything that is there called so off. They could have been talking about Schindler's List for all I know. But this month, the theme is, as you said, animation.
Yes.
That's why you get items from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Bob's Burgers, Futurama, Rick and Morty, more and more in this month's Loot Crate. Loot Crate's got monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics and your favorite franchises. It's an epic range of pop culture items that cost less than $20 a month.
Yep, if you have a friend, family member, child who just likes a surprise and who deserves it every month, put them on the program.
That's a good way of saying it. Deserves it.
Yep, it's lootcrate.com/allegedly, A-L-L-E-G-E-D-L-Y, and enter our code Theo, T-H-E-O, to save 10% off any new subscription today.
You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, then it's over. And one lucky subscriber will also get a mega crate of seriously epic proportions.
Limited time. Check it out. Lootcrate.com/allegedly. Enter code Theo.
Back to the show. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matt Weiss, and our normal co-host Theo is in Orlando doing comedy, I believe, where he texted me and said there's a lot of, quote, Disney workers, which I think is code for him for gay men. Yeah. I genuinely think that's what it was. And so we have Josh Peck filling in today, who was a guest not too long ago, just about a month ago. And he has since gotten married.
Yes.
Hello, Josh.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
God, this is great.
Do you like being on the other side?
I feel really powerful.
Yeah, but I'm going to take you down.
Good.
Okay.
That's
hot. Try it. Oh, and that voice
Hi. Is
the voice of Gus Kenworthy.
Oh, thanks,
Olympic
guys.
Medalist. Huge. And in the ESPN body issue right now.
Yeah.
And someone who, I'll just get this out of the way. Like, oh my God. I've been trying to get him on the show for 2 years.
Yeah, you're crushing him. This is like if I was interviewing Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, I'm so flattered. This is my first podcast ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we're popping his podcast, Jerry.
Can you
believe
that? Definitely
are.
And by the way, Jennifer Love Hewitt? Okay.
Yeah well, interesting.
Like the love of your life, the love of my life.
Is Jennifer Love Hewitt, are you stuck in like...
Adjacent to my wife, of course. I mean, Jennifer Love Hewitt was the girl that at 13 years old, I realized my penis worked. I was like, oh, I see. This is what you're here for.
I see.
Oh, mine was on the show Drake and Josh when I was younger.
Wait, the hefty one?
Yeah.
Yes. Finally. God, I felt so invisible.
Yeah. But, Theo's with Disney girls and we're with Nickelodeon
girls.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I'm talking about.
Exactly. And actually, you and Theo have something in common because Theo started on Road Rules. And so he was on many challenges through the years. And so Gus is currently...
No, it's over.
It's over, yeah.
Yeah.
On the MTV Challenge, with when it was athletes versus the contestants or whatever. What do you call them?
They called it. They did it champs versus pros. So it was like people that had all won a previous season of the challenge.
Yeah,
and then like a bunch of really random professional athletes, and it was like a season for charity. So it was kind of cool.
I just want to start it off and say, whoa, ESPN body issue. That you hold nothing back.
Yo, no.
How? I mean, that's. Were you nervous? Were you excited? And are you self conscious at all? You can't be self conscious of that.
No, buddy. I am like so self conscious.
No, you are not.
I am, especially when I'm in LA. I go to the gym and I'm like, I feel like there's expectation for me to have like a great body because I'm an Olympian. But like everybody here has like a better body than me.
Stop it!
Stop
no,
it!
No, it's actually true. It's actually
stop
true.
It and take off your shirt so we can see.
Get right out of town.
Yeah?
Kind of. I mean, like, I'm not super insecure, but I was insecure in that moment, and, like, knowing that I was going to have to take off my clothes for a bunch of people was pretty intimidating, and my shoot was on the mountain, so it was from 4 p.m. when the ski resort closed until 10 p.m., so it was, like, cold and snowy, and there was 16 people on set, which is, like, I'm fine being naked in front of 16 other people, but I would hope that at least a few of them were also naked.
and they weren't.
But no one was, no.
Well, have you been in the situation where you've been with 16 people where most of them were also naked?
No.
so early, Matt.
Most. Sorry. No, just sorry. Kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Like, did you feel the need to get a little chubbed up, a little half... little half staff going on for
if
the
I could have I 100% would have.
Too cold.
Yeah, it was too sure. cold, and also like it was like the least sexy shoot ever, if that makes sense. Like I mean, you think it would be sexy because you're naked, but it wasn't like in the sun, like getting oiled up and everything. It was right. like shivering, like jaw chattering,
right?
And then like trying to make my face look semi-presentable for a second for a photo, and then like back to shivering.
He's so humble.
I know,
it's
God.
Adorable.
I like when pretty people are humble.
I know, it's so nice. Did you go and introduce yourself to the crew members?
I'm giving Josh a point for calling me pretty.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's do this.
Oh wow. Fine. I'll pull out a lot of adjectives if you want me to. Did you go and introduce yourself to like the crew members one by one and be like, "Hey, you're about to see me naked," and so forth and so forth?
I did. Yeah. I went up to each of them. I was like, you're seeing me naked, feel free to send dick pics, like I'm available. No, I didn't really. I introduced myself to everybody, but it kind of like was really surreal because it was all at once. Like the robe was dropped and then it was just like out there in the open and that was it. But in the moment before that, I had gone into hair and makeup, and the hair and makeup girl was like chatting me up, and then she's like, okay, just like take the robe off, and because she was like spray tanning, so there was no tan lines or whatever.
Spray
and so
tanning
she
on
was
the
like,
snow.
She was like it. Well, it was in the hotel before we went out into the snow, but she was like spray tanning my penis, and I was like, this is really crazy and weird. And
Matt, what? You're in the wrong business, bro. What are you doing?
Where do I apply for this job?
I mean, ESPN hair and makeup girl, you could be that.
Damn, I'll take her down.
It is amazing how much a tan can like. I'm talking maybe 25% better looking. That yeah. a tan can afford you. It's important.
No, it's true.
Yeah, you need some color.
Why was she spray tanning that? Because you knew you weren't.
Well,
it wasn't
that was
going to
be hidden, but I guess, yeah, it was like because you don't know how high up like the shot's going to go on your groin. It wasn't like she was like specifically on my penis,
like
but like
drawing
she was just doing everything, like my butt, my groin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was kind of weird. And I was like, I like, if I was straight, I'd probably be into this. But,
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Would you ever do fully naked shots?
I mean, something?
I mean, on an iPhone
in the bathroom.
Yeah, I was going to say regularly. Right. No, sure. I don't know. Maybe I would. I think it would have to be for the right thing because I feel like that could so easily be construed as something other than artistic.
Right.
And I don't know if I would want to do anything that was necessarily like pornographic.
Yeah.
But also like maybe I would.
Ooh. Baby. So you're saying there's a chance.
I mean, it's so.
Wait, no, hold on. Can you expound on that a little bit? What does that mean?
Well, like, I mean, I want to get into acting after skiing. So if you know any people, Josh.
Welcome.
I'm the director here. He's the actor.
That's what I always wanted to do when I was a kid. And then, like, skiing took off. And so I went with it. And it's been an amazing career. And I love skiing. But I always, in the back of my mind, have wanted to try and go back into acting after.
I didn't know that.
And so if there was, like, an opportunity where I was, like, ever in a situation where I could get like a movie role or a TV role, and it was like you have to be nude in a scene, for sure I would do it. I'm fine with it.
Josh, have you ever done nude?
I have done nude, and it's terrifying, and I've tried to chub up a little bit beforehand, and it doesn't work, and my penis turns into an elevator button, and it goes in my body, and it's so bad. But, like, I'm, like, you know me, I've got a bit of a history of some body issues, so I, like, have to have the talk with the director beforehand. Like, if you were the director, I'd be like, listen, bro, I want to honor your vision, but you're going to have to pick some flattering angles, or I might kill myself. But it's all right. It works out.
What did you do it for?
I've done
for Drake and Jock? For Jason.
Yeah.
For Josh and Drake?
For Merry Christmas, Drake and Josh. No, for the Whackness, I Show My Ass, and this movie I just did, Locating Silver Lake. But usually, and like...
Do you know what the timestamps for those movies
seriously.
Are?
Yeah, seriously.
1:23. But people are usually pretty cool about it. And,
okay.
You know, like, you've just got like the boom, the one weird boom mic holder in there who's like, I'm like, you're taking mental images with your eyes right now.
The two movies I directed was a sex scene. One was two women, Amy Adams and Lauren German were in it together, and so of course like
I would watch that.
Oh, it's really good, but still like it did nothing for me, obviously. Like that was so non sexy at all.
Oof. I mean, I've definitely been in situations where I felt like I could have pushed the limits with the girl that I was performing with just a bit. Like there was definitely moments where I'm like, I think I could take this somewhat to the next level, like some touching some places, but it's like, but if you're wrong, it just becomes the worst thing ever.
Yeah, that's a really fine line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know what else? You're also breaking ground on our podcast because you're our first athlete. We've had over 100 and something guests, and it's been mostly actors.
Spoiler alert, Matt's not really interested in athletes.
Yeah,
I'm not either. I mean, I'm interested in athletes, but I don't know that much about sports. They told me that on their, like, the things that I'm going to talk to you about are, like, one of the things was sports, and I was like, okay.
That meant skiing.
Okay, cool. Which... Yeah, this is my first podcast, but I did a radio show on XM, and it was for a sports channel, and so they were like, What do you think about like Derrick Rose and like talking to me about sports players?
Oh,
and I was like,
shit.
I don't know. Show me a picture. I'll tell you what I think. Like, I don't know.
So, do you have a sports crush?
Oh yeah.
Well, Julian Edelman's photos in the Body Issue were like pretty amazing. So I kind of had a crush on him, and I saw him at the Body Issue party, and I was like, hey.
Like did you say hi to him? No.
I just like looked at him from across the room.
I was Julian Edelman. Edelman? He's high on my list too, as is Tom Brady.
And in the tribe.
He's a Jew?
Yeah.
Edelman?
Can you believe that?
Oh, yeah, Edelman.
A great Jew football player.
Wow.
Look, I don't know if you know about Jews, but we like we like to take ownership of, like, even like a quarter Jew would be like, still, he's in the tribe. And a sports star, we're like, ah, come on.
Also, if you don't know anything about Jews, they don't do much physical labor. So anything that involves anything kind of physical, it's so kind of a surprise. But yeah, you're our first athlete. So you are
thank you.
Breaking our athlete cherry there.
Cool. So lots of chairs being popped today.
Lots of them.
It's a mess in the studio.
How was the ESPN Body Issue Party?
The Body Issue Party was really fun. It was kind of weird. Like, I went in and there was like massive blown up photos on the walls of everyone from the issue. So there was like 20 by 10 foot pictures of myself naked, which was kind of weird.
New grinder photo.
I know, exactly. It's helped out a lot for hookup apps. No, my boyfriend was at the party and he was like, taking all sorts of selfies, and we took a bunch of photos in front of Julian Edelman's ass all blown up. So.
Now, is like having a crush on Cristiano Ronaldo, like, or a David Beckham, or whatever, is that too easy? Like, do you got like a guy with a little more texture?
I'm not gonna lie to you, Cristiano Ronaldo and Beckham don't really do it for me.
Really?
See, I know.
I'm like, it's against the grain. I know that everybody would disagree, but
it's like a straight guy going for Cindy Crawford. It's like too obvious.
He's making reference to a poster I had on my wall growing up.
It's not even obvious. It's just like, I don't know. I can't explain.
Not even
it.
Beckham at all.
I mean, like kind of Beckham in some photos, but then
like older Beckham, like vintage Beckham.
No, like more like Daddy Beckham.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We're just learning so much about guts here.
I get that.
So you are in a relationship with a guy named Matt.
Yeah, he's sitting outside the studio right now on
the
phone. Yeah, he's outside.
Well, bring him in. If he wants to come in, he can come have a seat.
Shay, you can bring him in. Or what was your name again?
Colton.
This really hot guy, by the way, just walked in named Colton. So Colton, if you want to go get him, I'm sure he'll go anywhere you try and bring him.
I said that Gus was our first... athlete. Our second athlete is in the room as well. We have a special appearance by Colton Underwood, football player, and he is handsome.
Strong.
Very strong, good-looking guy.
Oh, man, Matt, you're going to have to go straight home after this.
It's really humbling to be the ugliest guy in the room. It's like, really, not you, me.
No, come on. We were supposed to have dinner after this, but Matt's going straight home.
Yeah. I'm giving Matt a point for the self-deprecation.
I think that's fair.
It's very humbling. So, okay, so you've been in a relationship for a while now, yeah?
It's been like almost 2 years.
Wow, and you're pretty young, 25.
Yeah.
And I've read, you guys did an out article, and that was a different type of shoot. That was a nice, sexy shoot. And you had mentioned something about along the lines of, you know, you had a boyfriend before that and a boyfriend now, and you didn't, especially out here in Hollywood, that's very rare at your age.
Yeah.
For someone to have jumped into relationships so quickly. Is that something that you, how do you view that now?
It's great. I don't know. He's really easy to get along with. He's like the sweetest guy, honestly. He's super funny, and it's long distance, so it poses challenges, but also like we make it work.
Oh, well, I know you said in the article too, like you were open to or interested in exploring other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
like other stuff, other people, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it does. So is it like an open relationship? No.
Like not really, but kind of.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, since you are so, I mean, your story and when you came out was, I mean, very moving and just so powerful, and you've become kind of like a role model, not only as an athlete, but as, you know, someone in the public eye. Do you feel pressure from that to kind of have to live up to a certain standard?
Yes and no. I mean, like, I think that I have way more eyeballs on me than I did before I came out, and I think that a lot of them are young gay people. Like, my demographic is like 18 to 24 is like my primary follower category. And so I think I have like a little bit of responsibility for sure to try and like lead by example and do right. But I'm also like 25 and I just came out 2 years ago. So I make mistakes and do stupid shit and say the wrong stuff all the time. And so it's like, it's a constant learning process, and it's hard to be like a little bit in the public eye when you're trying to kind of navigate those things, because I don't want to do wrong or offend anybody or anything ever, but like sometimes you just don't know, and then you kind of have to get smacked into place, and then you realize, but it's hard when that happens in a really public way.
Do you find that do you have to censor yourself at all? Like because I looked at your social media, it's pretty like, you know, you're being you.
No, I think I'm me. I mean, like there's moments where I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should do this or not. And so I think I have to like think twice, but I don't know if I necessarily like censor myself.
Okay.
Is there a part of you that's tired of talking about it?
That's a great question.
There definitely is. And like, I'll have people be like, hey, we want to talk about your coming out. And I'll be like, oh my God, it was like 2 years ago. I really don't want to like beat the dead horse and like continue to like talk about it and milk it and whatever. And I think that the only thing that kind of makes me kind of okay with it is that like, I think each time I talk about it, it's not the same people necessarily that are constantly hearing that story.
It's a different audience.
It's a different audience. And I think that if it's able to help people, then that's great. I think kind of the only way to really like take down and fight homophobia is just by having people that are visible. And I think in sports, there's such a lack of visibility and such a lack of out men and even women, that the only way to really try and break down those barriers is to have more people who are out and outspoken and public and unashamed. And I think that eventually it'll get to a point where it's like not a big deal and no one has to talk about it and announce their sexuality.
Did you get any blowback or anything from when you came out?
I did for sure. I mean, like, I got just like shitty comments, I mean, that kind of stuff. But then like I had some people in the industry like kind of push back and say that I was like selling out my sexuality and I don't know. I mean, there was mixed reviews, but I think overall it was positive.
And how has your life changed from 2015 to now?
It's weird. In some ways, it hasn't changed at all. Like, I'm still pretty much doing the same things, like going to the same events and skiing and competing and everything. But then in other ways, it's changed because I feel like I'm able to like just hold my boyfriend's hand in public, and like we go out to gay bars and like do things that I never did before. Yeah. So it's like, it's just kind of like allowed me to kind of just be myself.
Well, good on you, man. That's I mean, it was a brave thing to do.
Oh,
period.
Thanks.
And so you kind of blazed a trail.
Was there like a particular aha moment when you were like, fuck it, I'm doing this. I'm gonna let it be public.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was, I actually never thought it was gonna happen during my career. Like, I had a boyfriend and we were both in the closet and, like, didn't tell anybody, like, introduced him to my family as my friend. It was just, like, completely closeted. And I think that that relationship just struggled a lot because of that, because there's so much working against you all the time and you never are able to, like, vent to anybody about issues you're having. And so it's just, like, hard to be in that situation. But I always thought that I would, like, finish my career, be done with the Olympics, be done competing, and then I'd be able to, like, kind of like hang up my skis and be done with that part of my life, and then be able to, like, have an open, like, out relationship. And that relationship kind of, like, ended, and part of it was that I was like, how am I ever gonna meet anybody else? Like, if I want to date someone else or, like, even hook up with someone, like, I'm too ashamed to go to gay bars because I don't want to be, like, outed. I don't want to be on any apps because I don't want to be, like, outed. And I was so nervous about someone finding out from someone and, like, hearing it through the grapevine. And, like, I just wanted to make sure that it was something that I could do in my way on my terms. And so I kind of, like, built it up in my head that I was gonna do it. I wanted to come out, and I wanted to come out as a world champion, because I was like, no one cares if, like, the guy that's getting, like, fourth at the event is like, right, I'm gay. Everyone's like, cool, who are you? I don't know. At least that's how I thought it. That's how I thought of it in my head. And so I was like, I wanna, like, make sure that I'm ranked number one at the end of the season. I wanna be, like, the world champion, and then I wanna come out. And so I, like, pushed super hard through the season and then finished the season that way and was like, oh, fuck, okay, I guess it's happening.
Wow, so it actually was a driving force career-wise, too, because it pushed you to do better in the career.
Yeah, I wanted to do it in my way, and I wanted to do it as in that position, because I kind of had told myself that, like, no one can argue with performance and no one can argue with the best. And even if people were like, oh, like, fuck this, we don't like this, it's kind of like, all right, well, I beat you at every event this year, so I don't care.
So, like, do you go to gay bars now?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it's fun, especially here in West Hollywood. It's really fun. I have, like, a good group of gay friends, and we'll go out and
do people recognize you?
They do, yeah, a little bit. I mean, definitely at the gay bars, it's like,
that's... You're getting free drinks. You never pay for a drink.
No, I pay for lots of drinks. Really? I pay for other people's drinks.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. He's getting more perfect as
okay,
it goes on.
Okay, here's the question. What, if you just had to eyeball Matt and I, what kind of drink would you send
us? Ooh.
I don't know. I feel like you can drink, Josh. I feel like you're going to have, like, a Long Island iced tea.
Great.
He's just blacking out.
Delicious.
Matt's having a lemon drop.
With a side of Rupee.
Maybe we Matt's can having, start Matt, with that.
Matt's Jeez. Having a sea breeze.
Wow.
Delicious.
Follow up with a Zima. Yeah, okay. So
Theo's having a beer. out of a funnel. Sorry.
What's Colton having? Colton's having a beer out of a
funnel. That's what I meant.
So is it true that so you hit up Matt on Instagram the first
time? I did,
yeah. Speaking of Colton, Colton met his former girlfriend by reaching out on social media as well. Isn't that crazy? Wow. Come over here for a sec. Do you mind if he comes over here?
Not at all. He can. If you don't want to sit on that chair, my lap's available.
So there's kind of an Olympic connection here.
Yeah.
So Colton, you reached out on social media to Allie Reisman? Yeah. Reisman? Reisman.
Correct. Wait, that's your girlfriend?
It was.
Oh.
That's my ex. Yeah.
I'm friends with Allie.
So you both of you use the power of social media to meet someone.
Yes.
Why doesn't it go that way for me?
What do you mean?
I don't mean anybody on social media, and I hit up plenty of people on social media. Actually, that's how I met Colton.
Just laying down the groundwork.
Was that this?
Yeah, it was 2 nights ago at the Body Issue Party.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at that.
Stealing your girl.
Does it take balls to hit somebody up on social media?
It didn't. I didn't hit him up either, like, hey, let's hang out. I, like, wrote him a message and was like, hey, I saw you in Gaby and I started following you. And he makes, like, these really stupid videos that are really funny, or at least I think they're really funny. And I was like, I think, like, your profile's really funny and cute, and I just wanted to say, like, hey, and, like, thanks for the laughs and whatever. And then he, like, whatever, just, like, thanks for being such a sweetheart. And it was, like, literally not even, like, sexual or anything.
It was just
and
like,
then he, like, wrote back and was like, oh, like, that's such a sweet message. Thanks so much. And then, like, it kind of left at that. Like, there was a few messages exchanged. And then I was going to New York, and I was like, hey, I'm going to be in New York. I know you live here. If you want to get, like, a coffee or something, let's, like, hang out. And he ended up being like, yeah, I'm actually free tonight if you want to do something. And so we ended up getting dinner and just kind of, like, hit it off. And
wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Hey, thanks.
And you? Did it take balls to hit someone up on social media?
No, I think my situation was a little different. My video was supposed to be private, and and then the producer at Yahoo got it and then showed it to her in her on-camera interview. So sort of put the pressure on her, I guess, to make an answer. And
is that true, huh?
Yeah, so that's sort of this backstory behind that.
But it kind of takes balls to even send a private video.
I think as athletes, though, I mean, you could probably vouch for this, too. I think as athletes, I mean, we're used to sort of taking chances. I mean, that's
totally
all part of it.
I'm having a moment right now. This is ridiculous. I can't look over to the right anymore. It's just, Josh, can you take that?
He's just at a buffet right now.
Can you take it for a second, please?
They even talk like athletes.
I know.
There's also no risk sending a video when you look like Colton. I'm just going to say.
That's totally true.
I mean, Colton is gorgeous, but you are gorgeous as well.
But I didn't send a video. Mine was all written.
Like social media is the only way that famous people are meeting anyone at all nowadays. Like, I know 10 girls that have been on a date with John Mayer.
Weird because I do too. Because he's on like course. Raya.
Yeah. It's John Mayer. It's Matthew Perry. Goes out with Matthew Perry and Dane Cook. Those are the three that I hear on the social media all the time.
I think like Instagram's one of the most underrated dating apps. Like
true.
Like low key, like Instagram is like the new dating app.
Are you dating someone now?
I'm not. I'm single. I've been enjoying being single right now.
Oh, so you're not scrolling through Instagram?
I didn't say I'm not scrolling through Instagram.
Oh, hey.
No, I'm not in a relationship right now.
Okay, and how about you giving points to Colton? Yeah, Colton now has entered the race, and he's getting points.
Oh, man.
5 points
he got
for Colton.
5 points.
Wow.
Look at me go.
Gus, are you on any social media, not Instagram, sort of, but any like sites or any like apps? Like,
are you referring to like Grindr and and stuff?
Yeah.
I have Grindr on my phone.
Is it you?
There's no picture on it.
Okay.
Huh. It's kind of like, I don't know. That whole thing is kind of like definitely new to Matt and I, and I feel like it's not even something I like at all expected to talk about today. But
sorry.
It's fine. I actually don't care. It's like if I'm traveling, I mean, this winter we had a couple times where we were apart for like 8 weeks at a time and I was in Europe at events and whatever, and we've also kind of discussed the fact that like he's a little older, he's been in a lot of relationships, he's been single for a lot of years. I've been in one relationship, was completely in the closet during and after that, and then I met Matt. So I've had like not a lot of experience, and before my first boyfriend, who was like my first kiss that was a guy or anything, I had been with like random girls and whatever, but it was like I had never really gotten to like explore anything like that. Right. So he's been super open to that and we've talked about it, and it's like something where there's like, if there's an opportunity, whatever, we're both open to that and we're very, very communicative, and so we've started to kind of explore it, but it's not like, I know a lot of couples that are like constantly looking for like a third and like always off doing their own thing. And it's really not that at all. But like I have it and I've looked and I don't have a picture or anything on mine. And if there was someone that I was interested in, I would like send a photo to Matt and be like, hey, is it okay if I like write this guy a message? Right. And if he was like, sure, then I would like maybe write him a message and like include like a picture of myself and kind of say,
all right, I'm in.
Matt's always in. But I wonder, like, you know, as a person that's never participated in a threesome and being a neurotic Jew, I just feel like there's no way it ever goes great. Like, I feel like I'd always be that one.
You're
wrong. Am I? Yeah. Like, I'd always be the one on the outskirts.
Then you haven't
like,
experienced enough either, pal.
I haven't. I just, absolutely.
I'm down too.
Good to know. Oh, that leads me to my next question, which is the Olympic Village just a 2-week fuck fest?
Dude.
Let's go.
It's not.
Come on.
That's what they say.
Hang on. But that's because I'm in the Winter Olympics, and in the Summer Olympics, I think that it really is. And going into Sochi, they said to us, like every interview, they're like, well, the summer athletes went through 40,000 condoms in 2 weeks. Like, are you guys going to beat that? And I was like, I don't know, probably not. There's like a quarter of as many athletes in winter sports as there are in summer sports.
We're in Russia.
Like, well, like, maybe we'll try. And
is this a challenge?
Yeah. I mean, like, I was like, I'm up for it. But no, it wasn't at all. So I was staying in the Alpine Village, which was like up in the mountains. It was like 2 hours from the coastal village where like opening ceremonies and stuff were. And then like hockey and speed skating and figure skating and those events were in the coastal village. Then there was like an endurance village. Then there was like another alpine village. Everything was so spread out that we pretty much just hung out with the people that were in our village. And they ended up being the people that are like in my sport, snowboarding, like ski racing, snowboard cross, like the events that I actually see throughout the year anyway. So it wasn't like suddenly like this buffet of new people that I had never ever seen before. It was like, oh, these are the people that I'm with all winter long.
Was there a village that was like had the reputation of being the village?
I think the Coastal Village was the biggest village, and it was like a lot of different sports, but most of the like arena sports, like speed skating and hockey and figure skating and curling and those things. So I think like in that village there was probably more going on.
Curlers just having a big orgy. Would that be awesome?
No. I don't know. I've seen a lot of curlers.
Pulling out brooms and shit. I mean like I want to imagine that everyone got a Z pack when they left the Olympic Village. Like there was just STDs going around. People were having sex.
I would assume, but that's what they did.
I don't know. Well, if it happened, I didn't get to experience it. I didn't really see it happening. Like, people hooked up, but it was like people that had hooked up at other events in the past. And it wasn't so exciting. And then in like London and in Rio and at the Summer Games, they have every single sport, every country in one huge village. It's like basically like a big city just of all the Olympic athletes. And I think that in that scenario, it really is like a crazy hookup. Like everyone's on the apps, everyone's like going out, everyone's hooking up.
Nice.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
That sounds amazing.
So is there fear about hooking up with fans? Because they might be crazy.
That's a good question
for both.
That's
a question that I have for you.
I'm in.
Yeah. You asked it. You answer first.
Hooking up with
fans?
Before
you got married.
Yes. Drake and Josh fans when I was like 20?
I don't know. I'm sure there were plenty of Drake and Josh fans who were thus grown up. And said, oh my God, I loved you when you were on Drake and Josh. And then did you follow through with any of them?
Yeah, I mean, they never, they never started with that. But after a while, like,
when you went to their house and there was the posters.
You slept with them and then you went home and they had box sets.
Yeah.
Would you sign this for me?
The act was over. And then all of a sudden they were like, listen, you've made my childhood. And I'm like, well, you made my Thursday night. So
I don't think there's
you.
Anything wrong hooking up with fans.
Yeah, Colton, how do you feel about hooking up with like very new, recent fans?
Yeah.
Like today's fans.
Fans.
I never have.
You never hooked up with a fan?
No, never. And I think like, especially like me at least, I mean, I'll play the innocent good boy card here, but.
That's how we view you, so
Right. I think you got to be skeptical, and like, that's the hard part about dating now is like the intentions. You always question like the intentions of why they're getting in the relationship with you, and I think that's why it makes it hard on. I'm not a notable or like extremely recognizable athlete, but still it's Google. All you have to do is type in your first and last name in Google, and then you get net worth, you get where they, that you get so many information with the internet now that you have to question intentions.
All right. Well, that's minus points for Colton. Yeah.
spread the love to your fan base, Colton. Live a little.
He's down from 5-2.
Gus, I also read in articles that you would turn down an invitation to the White House. Is that still true?
That is still true, but I thought we were talking about hooking up with fans.
Oh, no, hooking up with fans. Yes.
Well, I was going to say, I have never hooked up with a male fan, but I used to do all the time with female fans because I was like so desperate to try and like seem straight with the other skiers. So we'd be at events and like if any girl came up and they're like, hey, how's it going? I'd be like, good. Like, what's up? And like try and spit game because I was just trying so hard for everyone else in the industry to think that I was the same as all of them. So in that regard, I did, but never since.
Well, since we're going back to this, and
okay,
we'll stay on it.
Throwing it back.
Because I was in the closet until I was 27.
Imagine that.
Imagine, which was just last year.
I was going to say, you came out last year?
Yeah, just last year. Oh, points for Colin. Points for everyone.
Yeah, yourself a couple. You deserve it.
Yes. Two things I want to ask was, one, like, did you have a celebrity female that you would tell people, like, because I talked to him, like, I had Cindy Crawford on my wall. Eventually, I put Bette Midler's face on it, to be honest, and still nobody knew that I was gay. But, like, I used to tell people that, like, when I used to hang out with the dudes, they were like, oh, I think Pamela Anderson's so hot, or I think so, and I'd be like,
Liza Minnelli.
No, I had my beard. I had my celebrity beard. I used to go, oh, Neve Campbell. Oh, my God, Party of Five connection. I used to go, Neve Campbell, like, she's my one, right? Because that one seemed like not too in your face. That's
gettable.
Like, oh, he's like totally overcompensating.
Yeah.
You know?
Like he's got a thing.
But at the same time, she's cute and girl next door.
But
know?
Tell him your other one. It was Neve Campbell and
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I love Drew Barrymore. She's so wholesome. That's a good one.
Yeah, it was because
Colton, the two gay men love Drew Barrymore. She was, and she's fabulous, but not necessarily a sex symbol, at least for me.
Right.
Jennifer Aniston? Anyway,
no. Great.
No.
Come on,
I mean, I think that's every.
I used to say Cameron Diaz when I was a kid.
She,
I can see that.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
That's a solid.
I actually got asked this at the Olympics because our event was on February 13th. And like three American boys swept the podium, and the other two guys are single, and I had my first boyfriend but was like totally in the closet, so they thought that all three of us are single, and they're like, yesterday's event, it was an American sweep of the podium, and we have three young single guys, like it's Valentine's Day, who are your guys' crushes? And I was like sitting there like, well, I haven't met Colton yet, so I can't say no, but I was like, do I say like Zac Efron or Jake Gyllenhaal? And I like, and then play it off like I'm joking, like I didn't know what to do. And it came around to me, and I was like, oh, Miley Cyrus. And so then NBC, like, tweets it out, and they're like, our boys' celebrity crushes, like, Emma Watson and Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus. And, like, neither of the girls say anything back to the other two boys. No shade, but... And then Miley, like, tweets back and, like, follows me and, like, starts messaging me, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is... fucking crazy.
That's crazy. Well, that's still a gay man's dream.
Yeah, I know. She's
you're kind of, and you're friendly now.
Yeah, yeah, we're friends, and she's like a gay icon. So
That's fantastic.
But if you had had the opportunity just once to lay it down, yes,
with Miley,
no? Yeah, with Miley.
I had the opportunity.
Ooh. Wow.
We never slept together or anything. But we had a makeout.
Really?
Yeah, we had a makeout.
Ooh, like
that's just beautiful. Was
it
good?
It was great.
Wow, I'm jealous now.
She came. She had a show. She was on tour with the Banger Store, and she had a show in Denver. And she was like, "You have to come." And I like went with like a bunch of my friends, and we like all went to the show, and then like partied with her afterwards. And it was really cool. She's really, really sweet. And I've hung out with her a few times since. And she's back with Liam. She wasn't at that time.
Right.
And I got to meet him a couple of times, and they're great.
Yeah. Well, he's one of my top ones too. When you say you hooked up with girls and stuff like in the past, and this is a question that I had myself, did you enjoy it or was it work?
No, it was I'd say at the beginning I enjoyed it, like in the very beginning I had never been with a guy, and I was like very much still trying to like figure all that out. I was like 15 years old, whatever, and so like I did enjoy it in the beginning, and like I had fun, but I also felt like really crazy guilty afterwards when I would do it, and
yeah,
I wasn't sure if that was just because I was just like doing something that was maybe I was like, does everyone feel guilty after this, or is it because I am gay and I'm like really hiding it?
Right.
But I was like able to do it and enjoyed it kind of, and it was fun, and I also felt like it was what I was supposed to be doing, so I felt like I was like doing what I was supposed to be doing and doing something that was like gonna make me cool and like have my friends be excited about me or whatever. So in a lot of ways it like was fun in that regard, but I also really felt like a lot of shame afterwards.
Me too.
And then as it went on, it became like harder and harder and harder for me to even be able to do it. Like I was like, got to a point where then I like couldn't get it up, couldn't finish. Like,
that's exactly what
couldn't
happened
make it happen. And then I was like, okay, I am lying to myself. I have been lying to myself for way too long.
That's exactly what happened to me. I was literally like in a situation where I was like, nope, this is, I'm definitely tapping out for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like I'm out. And I told the girl I was had mono. It was bad, but I didn't want her to feel bad that she was like the reason that I also
you're like, I think you
corner.
Turned me gay.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I mean, did she check up on you days later? Like,
yeah,
how's,
it was sweet.
How's
we
mono?
Were actually dating for a little bit too,
oh, that's
so
nice.
It was nice. You've never had a gay experience, right?
On the radio, no, I haven't. On a podcast, no. No, I haven't. But I'm very flattered when anyone, you know, hits on me, male or female.
Colton?
And
no. I'm just kidding, Colton. Poor kid.
Now
Colton's like, not yet. I'm like, here, drink this.
Please, yes, you'll
right
get there.
Guys.
By the way, I love that Colton said Jennifer Aniston. How old are you?
I'm 25.
25, and you picked Jennifer Aniston.
So you have a MILF thing.
She's also bit. Not aged ever. So.
No,
she's true, but still... I think it's cool that
I
you picked like a 45-year-old.
In college, I went back and I watched every single Friends episode. I think that's what did it for me.
Okay,
like,
sure.
Over the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I met her and she gave me incredible eye contact. And I said, you're special. Like, there's a lot there. Because she, you know, like when there's just those women, powerful women like that, that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And like, I just, as soon as I met her, I'm like, oh, I am in the presence of something special.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. I felt that with Alicia Keys. I got to be, I didn't get to like, hang out with her really, but I just went to a taping of The Voice.
Yeah, I saw your
got
Instagram.
To meet her afterward, and they were like, yeah, we're gonna do like a quick meet and greet with Alicia. It was like through NBC Olympics, and I thought it was gonna be like a really lame like 2-minute like, how's it going, I'm Alicia, you want a photo, okay,
yeah.
Have a good one. which would have been fine. But she was so engaging, and she talked to my friend Daniel that I brought to the show and I for like 15 minutes and like didn't look at her phone, didn't like look at her reps or like try and leave. Like, she was so engaging and present and really, really sweet. And I was just like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is Alicia Keys.
I've only had it with three people. Neve Campbell, when I actually met her and I told her she was my beard and she loved it. Oprah and Gus came with it. It's true. It's true. I was very nervous, and I've interviewed every celebrity out there, and maybe I built it up over the 2 years I've been trying to get you on this show.
I know. It's probably a letdown. I'm sorry.
No, it's great, but I was actually like really nervous, and I was like, hey, I don't know what to ask, and I don't know the right thing, and I texted Josh, and I said,
I've been getting a lot of texts.
You're just going to have to like control me if like I go off course or something. So,
assuming, let's say you didn't have a boyfriend.
Yeah. Matt's getting like a lot of points.
Point him up. So if you didn't have a boyfriend, what would be Matt's next move to bed you tonight?
Or if you did have a boyfriend.
Or, yeah.
We're going to come back to the podcast after a quick bathroom break.
Great. In the bathroom at the comedy store? God bless.
I'm sure it wouldn't be the
I'm
first
sure
time.
This is plenty worse has happened, for sure.
No, I don't know. I mean, I like Matt. He's very sweet and funny and charming. So I would say, let's go out. Let's go out and have drinks. Like, actually, we should just go out and have drinks anyway.
Okay. I'm in.
Great.
Okay. Score. Best podcast ever. Jeez.
I'm telling you, this was a good move for you.
I realized by looking at these two men right here that the only reason I do the podcast is so I can bring in three men right here.
Thanks.
Very handsome.
Well, I'm not going to lie. You sent me the direct message of who was on your show, and I'm a big challenge fan. Like, that's my...
Really?
That's like my
really?
Guilty, that's like my guilty pleasure. Like, I love the challenge. I love MTV. Like, that show
wow.
is...
Wow.
And I grew a whole new respect. Like, hit this... That was awesome this whole season. It was really
oh,
cool.
My God. I yeah. am so flattered.
Well, that is a perfect segue to the questions we have on the challenge.
Colton's getting another point.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can see that the way to get points is just flattery. It will get you everywhere.
Theo, actually, from Orlando, and since Theo was in the... sent in some questions regarding the challenge. Okay. Number one, and this was actually a social media question that other people asked, was CT mm-hmm. as big as a... dumbass as he seems on the show?
No, I actually don't think CT was a dumbass. He's kind of intimidating, actually. He had a few moments where he would have like really quick personality changes, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Even off camera. But I think he's actually quite smart. And kind of calculated. But it was funny because while I was filming it, like we had the evenings off. Spoiler alert: we actually weren't staying in a house. Like they normally do that, but they didn't do that with our season. But I was in a cab and someone was talking about the challenge in the cab, and I like didn't tell them I was on it, and I even when they were talking about it, I still didn't tell them I was on it, the driver. And she was like, "Ooh, that's CT." And I was like, "Really?" Cuz like I don't see it. But then I looked up old photos of him and he definitely used to have it going on for sure.
They also Theo wanted to know what was your perception of the show before going on it, and did it change after being on it?
My perception of it was that like I hadn't seen it in so long. Like I grew up watching it when it was like Road Rules and The Gauntlet. One of the Gauntlet episodes was in my hometown in Telluride, and like Johnny Mosey was hosting, and he's like a ski legend.
Yeah.
And so I was like very excited as a kid, and I remember like riding my bike around trying to like find where they were doing challenges. And they That's had an cute. Ice cream eating challenge, and my first job was scooping ice cream, and it was at the shop that I scooped ice cream at, so I was like in the back, like looking out the doors.
Wow.
So it's kind of funny that it came full circle. But I think that my perception was that it was going to be just like a lot of physically intense stuff, and it kind of was, but it was also so much mental and also like a lot of kind of like gross things and like rolling through ketchup wrapped in saran wrap. It's like, that's disgusting. And it wasn't really like physically demanding. It was just like hard, but it, I don't know, it wasn't like strength or endurance or anything else that I thought it was going to be for a lot of the challenges.
Well, one thing that I think is really cool about both of you, I mean, I know it was for charity, and I know that you both and you as well are big into charitable organizations and work. Want to tell us a little bit about the charity or whatever you work strongest with right now, because that was for
Yeah, I played for two, actually. I split the money that I was fighting for between the Happy Hippie Foundation and the Trevor Project.
Yeah, Trevor.
And Happy Hippie Foundation, Miley started, and it is all money that's raised for at-risk and homeless LGBT youth.
Mm-hmm.
And like only 5% of the population identifies as LGBT, but 40% of the homeless youth in the U.S. are LGBT. So there's a massive problem with kids feeling the need to like run away or getting kicked out of the house when they come out or just ending up on the streets, in some part because of their sexuality, and it is a problem. And so they raise money to provide food, education, housing, opportunities. It's just an amazing charity. Mm. And so I've played for that on a few different shows and whatnot, and it's very near and dear to my heart. And the other one is the Trevor Project.
Of course.
And I think everyone knows the Trevor Project, yeah. But it's for suicidal LGBT youth.
And how about you, Colton? I know you have your own organization, right?
Yeah, I started my own foundation last year. It's been starting your own foundation's challenging.
Yeah,
it's
I can imagine.
Lot of legalities, a lot of paperwork, but it's like so satisfying once you do it. I started in 2013, my first year in the league, because I always believe if you have a platform and you're not using it for good, like you're just wasting your platform. Like I could go out on the football field. Anybody could go out in the football field and play a sport, but like do something else off the field, especially nowadays. I mean, I think athletes and football players in general get stereotyped as the dumb jock, the players, the playboys. So that was the main thing. And my main goal was just like set an example for everybody else around the league. Cause I always joke, I was like, I'm like the nobody in the league, but like I do the most off the field when it comes to like raising, like my foundation's raised over $200,000 already. And I was like, you know, I didn't technically play in one active NFL game. Like I was preseason injuries, right. Getting cut left and right, got cut like 6 times in my career. But like at the end of the day, I still somehow managed. And that just like proves like, is if you have a voice, if you have a platform, like use it. Like, I'm like a nobody, but still can raise $200,000 for amazing. Cystic fibrosis. And my little cousin was born with it the same year that I got signed with the Chargers. So I always said, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to make this work. So I host a youth football camp every year in my hometown for 400 kids. And then this year we added a cheerleading camp for 75 little cheerleaders. And I like go around. I literally go around and just ask for money. So
sign me up for the cheerleading portion. Yeah.
Come on up. Come on up.
I was like,
but no. So it's been awesome. And it's something near and dear. And I think that's also what caught my attention with the challenge even more this season. Side note. So like in training camp, we watched me and my roommates watch a challenge because I mean, you literally eat, sleep, train, play football for 2 weeks straight. Like at night, you got to find like a show. We went back and watched every single challenge through those 2 weeks.
Wow.
So I know what you mean with the throwback CT, like to, you know, like, to like watch him change over the years. No, like not only his body, but like just like the type of person and going through the stuff with DM and stuff. Like it's cool. And I mean, you definitely build like some sort of relationship with the characters on the show. But
so do you have a question for Gus from this?
No,
anything
no,
you
no.
want
to
know?
I'm also have to announce that I gave Colton 2 points there. It wasn't because he was a fan of the challenge. It was for all of his charity work and the money that he's raised. I think that's awesome.
That's
so
fantastic.
Oh, so how quickly do you get the Olympic tattoo? Like when's that decision go? Because that's a good tattoo.
Mine was quick.
Of course.
I mean, I have wanted a sleeve forever. I just thought that they were like cool looking and I didn't really have anything that I wanted and I didn't know how to even start. And so when I got back from the Olympics, I was like, oh, I definitely want to get the rings. And I was like, oh, I feel like I like can justify it. Like I got a medal, I think, whatever. And so I just did it. I like it was like very spontaneous. I went, like made the decision that morning, went to a shop that day.
Wow.
Got the rings.
That is spontaneous.
Wow. Yeah. And then after that, it was like the floodgates were open. And I was like, all right, I can do the sleeve now.
Do you have a favorite tattoo?
I think I have my mom's signature on my forearm, and then I have my dad's signature the opposite way on my forearm. I think they're my favorite.
Is there ever a case of stolen valor, like when you see the rings on someone and you're like, you ain't no Olympian, bro? Like,
I've never seen anybody that has the rings that isn't an Olympian, but every time I do see it, I'm always like, hey, what sport are you in? And then they'll be like,
what's your event?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. They're like, oh, I was in like equestrian or something. Yeah. And it's like, oh, cool. I would have never met you, but how's it going?
Which leads me to my next question, which is, and like, please be honest if you can be, like, we've got two incredible athletes here. What do you really think about people like Matt and I that have no.
Wait, are you saying Jewish? Or
No, yes, Jews. No, like, no ability. I mean, I'm guessing, Matt.
Oh, that's
like,
not fair. Don't say you have no ability. You're actually an amazing actor.
Thank you. Well,
and I really did grow up watching your show, so.
Thanks.
Same here.
But, like, physically, like, if you threw me a ball, I would be terrified. Like, I'd be like, fuck, I'm going to, like, totally drop this. It's going to be bad. Then I'd have to throw it back, and that would be a whole other set of issues.
Completely.
Like,
well, I mean, oh, sorry.
My whole thing, like, growing up, I don't have any regrets, but, like, if I had to, like, in high school, and I've shared this with, like, the drama teacher there, too, I was, like, my biggest regret is, like, not doing, like stage, like, the acting and, like,
really?
The plays and stuff, and I always thought, like, you're only cool if you did sports. Like, I was that type of jock. Like, I was, like, trying to be the cool kid, and that's like recent, as of recent, like the last 3 or 4 years, like I'm all for like expressing individuality and being your own person. And my whole like phrase, like dare to be uncommon. Like I love that saying, just like be different, like leave your stamp on this world. Like football isn't for everybody. Like I don't expect everybody to like football. I don't like, you know, I don't expect everybody to play basketball or do anything like that, but find something you're passionate about. And as long as like in life, like you're passionate about it and you go after it, like that's awesome.
Okay, I actually have a very big crush on this man right now.
Yeah, of course.
He's getting so 5 more points. I think Colton is just winning. He was winning when he walked in the door. But,
well, the question that I did ask you before, which was about the White House.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, it got sprung on me actually. The question in an interview I was doing with Sports Illustrated, and they were kind of asking what it was going to be like to represent the U.S. going to the next Olympics under the presidency that we have. And I've been kind of outspoken on my social media about the fact that I don't agree with a lot of the things that are happening in office. And I mentioned that I wouldn't go to the White House afterwards because that's like a customary thing, is they have a White House visit for the Olympians. And yeah, I stand by it. I have no interest in feigning approval for the cabinet or anything that's happening. So far, it's been like the most insane presidency. It's a campaign that was led on like hate and intimidation. And since he's been in office, he's tried to like repeal so many things that are so beneficial for minorities in the LGBT community. And I just have no real desire. And I was so honored to go meet the Obamas after the last Olympics. And it was like a life highlight for me. Yeah. And if I went to the Olympics, I would be very excited to compete for the U.S. again. And I am for sure a proud American, and I love the opportunity to get to compete for my country, but I wouldn't want to go shake his tiny, 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 tiny hands.
Yeah, and actually he does the thing where he pulls you in when he shakes your hand, which is very awkward.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah, that was very good. So what's going on? So what are you doing these days? You're training?
Yeah, I'm training. I'm training and kind of like in the gym doing like cross training, and then skiing periodically throughout the summer. Like I'll go to New Zealand in August and there's a World Cup, and continue to stay on snow. And the next selection event for our team happens in December. We had one this year, and basically how it works for us is that you have to hit certain things to be eligible to try and like even make the team, which happened all last year and the year before. And so I hit those things, and then we have 5 selection events, and you have to have 2 podiums out of the 5 events to secure a spot on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I got 1 podium at the 1 selection event this year. So I have 4 events at the beginning of the year, and I got to get another podium, but I feel pretty good. I'm in like a good position and just trying to keep the nerves at bay.
That's great.
Yeah.
Where do you train at?
I ski in Breckenridge. I live in Denver.
I live in Castle Rock.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll come see you at the outlet stores.
points.
So I train in the outlet
stores. Where's your address?
Matt and I love discounts.
Yeah, seriously. How about you? What's going on with you these days?
I'm done. I've been going through some legalities against actually Oakland. So with how my whole career went down there. Yeah. I mean, I understand like it's a business and I'm never going to like be like pity party on me. But like it changes. Like I feel like for you guys in the Olympics, like that's a sport. Like for us, I view myself as an entertainer when it comes to the NFL.
Oh, sure.
I mean, at the end of the day, like that's what it is. And you got to look out for yourself. So like playing in the league, it's weird because like, and it's not because I didn't touch the field and I'm being like a salty ass dude, but like it almost ruined football for me. Like the last 3 years that I've been in it, it's just because of how much of a business, the politics that are in it. I mean, I had a fractured shoulder and they told me I had something different and put me back on the field. Like, you know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, like that wasn't in the best interest of me. But I'm one of the dudes that is like puts my head down and just goes to work. Yeah. Like I'm not going to feel sorry for myself, but, so I'm done. I had surgery up in Vail, Colorado with a orthopedic surgeon up there. I have to have another one probably later on in life. So I'm retired.
So are you pursuing anything else now?
I had a couple meetings with some people. I went to the Globes with Allie, and a manager approached me for some acting stuff. But I'm still trying to figure out like what my next passion is going to be. I mean, I have no doubt that hopefully whatever I do, I'm going to be successful at because, I mean, that's just an athlete's mentality.
Yeah, you have the work
like,
ethic.
I feel like I've outworked everybody my whole life. I've never been like the supreme athlete, but I'm the one who gets up at 5 o'clock every morning and goes to work out in the gym for 2 hours to try to stay ahead of these athletes.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But no, so I'm just exploring different, like, that's why I'm out here right now. I'm exploring different avenues, taking different meetings, just sort of see what's in it for
me. And speaking, I mean, in the acting world, are you in Sharknado?
I'm in Sharknado 5.
Sharknado wow. 5.
Yeah, I was. They were like, do you want to be in Sharknado 5? And I was like, they made 4 other Sharknados?
Oh, like, yeah,
I,
they did.
I knew that there was one. I mean, I loved the first one, but I have to say I didn't see them all. But yeah, I did a cameo, and it's very interesting. Like, Tom Daly is also uh-huh. in it, and there's like a bunch of random Olympians.
Was that fun?
It was really fun. It was also so strange. Like, they filmed me skiing, and they filmed me like in front of a green screen, just like standing in a bunch of different positions, and took pictures of my equipment in a bunch of different positions. And then like, okay, we got what we need. And I was kind of like, how? And they're like, we'll do it in post. And I was like, I mean, like, awesome. I know that they can do that, but it's like so insane.
They're gonna turn you into a shark.
I know. So it was kind of crazy.
I've heard stories about Ian Ziering on the Sharknado movies where he'll just. Like, he takes it so serious that there'll be times where he'll be like, I just need another take for me. He'll be like, are you sure?
Last week's guest
was... We're making Sharknado, but sure, you can
have
it.
Last week's guest on this was Cassie Scarbo, who is one of the stars of it. She plays Nova Clark in the wow. Sharknado movies. All right, well, before we wrap it up, I have a couple quick questions that I want to throw out at you guys. Number one is, would you ever go on RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah, I'm dying to.
Yeah?
I am dying to.
Wait, as a judge or as a contestant?
Oh, well, no, as a judge. I mean, I've never done drag, so I don't think I would do very well as a contestant.
Yeah.
But I'm friends with a couple of the queens, and I think that, like, Milk and I have been talking about her putting me in drag, so I think I'll definitely try it out at some point.
What kind of drag will you have? What do you think your drag aesthetic is?
I don't know. I mean, I wish I could say that I'd be like a super smart queen like Sasha Velour or something and be able to like
command. We're talking a different language
I know,
right now.
They don't understand. But like, like command a stage and just be so smart and kind of calculated
and
about it.
Innovative and.
And innovative and passionate. Yes. And I think that she's been amazing at executing her ideas. But I don't know. I think I would just be like kind of just like a regular queen. I don't know how to say. I would want to just like put on the whole thing and hopefully just look really good and just own it. I don't know if I would have like a shtick because I couldn't see myself doing it over and over and over again, but maybe I'll do it the one time and fall in love with it. But no, I would love to be a judge on the show.
Colton, do you want to have a push-up contest or something right now?
So arm wrestle.
So
lost,
we could be represented too.
I was trying to follow it.
This was a Theo question for both of you. Do you still encounter, do you see performance-enhancing drugs still to this day in your sport?
I don't.
You don't see it?
I don't even know what steroids look like. Like, I don't. I actually don't.
I mean, everyone
in my sport smokes weed, and we have sort of in-season and out-of-season competition, and so we get tested differently in-season, like, during actual events, and out-of-season. And so in-season is, like, really strict. Like, you can't take cough syrup if you had a cold because, like, anything will show up, and anything is going to come up as a banned substance, even if it's like a legal substance.
No gas station wiener pills either.
No,
you know that. John Jones.
Okay.
Pister.
And then out of season is a lot more lax, and they're like testing for like blood doping and steroids and a bunch of things like that. But like, if you wanted to smoke weed, they're not testing for THC in the system.
How about you, Colton? Did you run into a lot of that?
Yeah. I mean, I was your typical meathead in college, too. So, like, bodybuilding.com got a lot of my money in college. I tried a lot of things. I've never injected. Like, I would never stick a syringe to myself. But, like, I took, like, testosterone boosters and stuff in college. And,
solid.
No, it threw me. Like, that's, like, the worst things for you. Like, the last, my senior year, I stopped everything just because my junior year, I took, like, test boosters. And my body naturally stopped producing, like, testosterone. So, like, during the season when I had to get off of it, because there's testing periods in NCAA, like, during the season you get tested. Like naturally my body was like running on low testosterone, which is not good when you're in season. So I stopped all of that. But I mean, yeah, in the National Football League, you have to be sort of a dumbass to get caught like with doing street drugs, because they're like, hey, through this month, we're testing you for drugs. During the season, they don't test you for street drugs.
Right.
So they give you like 2 months prior is the open testing window. So like when I see these dudes getting popped for like weed, I'm just like, you're an idiot.
Like, yeah. Like
they literally just sent us an email saying like, hey, these next 2 weeks are your testing
right,
weeks.
Right.
But as far as performance enhancing, they've done a good job of getting it out of the game.
Yeah.
Not for like everybody else's sake, but for people's sakes too, because it's not good for your body.
Sometimes I take pre-workout before I go to the club.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just give me a little lift. You know what I'm saying?
I see a lot in directing and writing. There's a lot of performance.
Have you ever taken like a pre-workout? Like,
oh, yeah.
Stimulant?
Yeah, I think I'm having a heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it works. It's great. NO Explode? Come on.
Yeah.
Free shout out.
Now,
this message brought to you by Explode.
Now, here's the question to everybody that I love. Who's the biggest person you could text right now?
Like the biggest, like in celebrity. Terms of size.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Just the shadiest answer.
You could text Miley Cyrus now. Could you text? Do you have her number?
Yeah, I have Miley's number.
That's pretty big.
That's pretty big. That's probably my biggest. I mean, she's definitely the most famous person that I think I know.
That's a good one. Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper, Andy Cohen.
Yeah. Well, I can text Andy Cohen too.
That's the gay Rushmore. Yeah,
that's the gay mafia.
Okay, Josh.
I think the real question is who would text me back.
Okay,
right?
Fair enough.
Probably Stamos.
John Stamos?
John Stamos.
That's a good one.
It's not bad.
God, I want to trade numbers.
Yeah. Colton?
As far as like big, I mean, I went to dinner with her last night. Simone. We all went out to eat.
Yeah.
Just to celebrate her ESPYs. But yeah, Simone's on top of the world right now.
Yeah, that's a big one.
She's killing it. Yeah.
Wow. Absolutely.
And?
She's amazing. Well, I'm hoping it'll be Gus Kenworthy after this. But,
yeah, right?
Probably James Franco or
nice.
Amber Heard. Those are my
no big
my
deal.
Peeps. Awkward. So anyway,
I just wrote my number on a piece of paper.
Oh, sweet. Okay, thank you.
It's a fake number, but it's written. No, it's not.
So we normally ended up with. Let's see. Where are the points at?
I kind of forgot about it. Well, Colton right now has 10. he was at a head start when he walked in the door. Matt's at 6. Josh only has 2. I'm gonna give Josh 2 more just to kind of even up the races.
And all right,
I gave myself
it.
A point because.
Well, you deserved it.
Yeah, but
sure.
I'm also really competitive, so like, don't be surprised if suddenly give myself 15 points.
Whatever you want.
Oh, whatever you want.
You give points for anything you want. Okay, so we normally have a final competition.
Okay.
And I think that since Colton is here, you and I each have to say a football term. Going back and forth.
Oh, I love foot game.
You want to play in this? No, you're playing in this too.
Okay.
So until someone runs out of a turn, you know, like.
Oh, great.
You ready?
So we're going all the way to just basics, right?
Basics, yes.
Great. I got you.
Okay.
Oh, baby.
All
right.
Let's all do it. Let's all do it in a thing. And we'll see who the wins. Last one standing is. I'm having a guess it'll be Colton. But I'll start with field goal.
Quarterback.
Mine's a. Double, Sandra, it's a wide receiver.
Wow. Ooh. Okay.
I'm going to go with sack.
Oh, okay. Hey,
better double, Sandra.
Okay, I'm going to go with safety, right? Nice. That's when
safety's
you...
Nice. Right. Yeah.
Nose guard.
Oh. I'm going to go with another sexual one, tight end.
Ooh, oh, good one.
I'll go middle linebacker.
Punter?
You're,
is that what it's called?
You're on top of your game right
punter?
Now.
Punter?
Gatorade.
No, that's, that doesn't work.
Lineman.
OJ Simpson. Okay, lineman?
Yes.
I don't know. What did you just say?
Yeah, lineman's in.
Yeah, but what did you say?
I said middle linebacker.
Oh, linebacker.
Those are two different
lineman
things.
And a linebacker
he's on
is different. Okay, Gus?
He's on top. Of
quarterback.
I think you said.
No, it wasn't.
Josh, did you say quarterback?
I think it was my first one.
Yeah.
Was that what you said?
Yeah, Gus
well,
is out.
I'm not out. I have more. Mouth guard. Ref.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Ref's nice. Good. Ref's good.
Okay.
I'll go with end zone.
Okay. I'll go with overtime?
Yeah, there's it, overtime in football.
Overtime. Pooch kick. Is that a thing?
What the hell is pooch a pooch kick?
Pooch kick is a thing. It's you don't see it in the game anymore, but pooch kick is a thing.
Please explain it.
Please, after you.
A pooch kick is when, like, a punter, instead of punting it deep, can just punt it up in the air and short, just try to force a fumble or get the defense down.
Okay, quicker. Okay. All right, we're going to have to go faster now.
Well, after that term, I'm going to say fumble.
Fumble, no. Great.
Fumble's right. Pigskin.
Pass?
Offsides?
Ooh.
Is that a thing?
Offsides is the thing.
Great. Down.
Ooh.
Down. Blitz?
Don Shula, is that a person?
Don Shula is a person with football, yeah.
Solid. Oh, well, I mean, then
no,
we're
we can't
into
go into people. I'm out. All right, you guys keep going. Oh. Josh.
You know, to victory? No, I'm out.
Gus?
Holding.
Ooh,
holding
yeah.
Holding is a thing. Pass interference.
Ooh.
Cleats?
Cleats are a thing.
Yeah, they're a thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go with shoulder pads.
Oh, now we're just doing uniforms now.
End zone?
I think that was said too. Said Gus, that's a
I'm running out of terms.
Colton wins.
Stadium.
Football. Well, listen. So, Colton won that one. It's clear that Colton won the entire podcast.
Colton won the show.
For sure.
Well, I appreciate you guys letting me crash your podcast.
Oh, of course.
It was amazing. Oh, can I ask you, why are you in LA if you live in Castle Rock?
Just for some meetings.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, just out here.
Oh, she's fancy.
Yeah. Well.
So, Colton wins the podcast.
You way to go,
and you won.
Good for you, man.
Thank you both for coming in. Gus, This is, I mean, it's been 2 years in the making.
I mean, Matt's like a make-a-wish kid, right? I mean, this is everything you could ask
I can't believe I have like this much power. I know. I feel so good. Thank you for, you're flattering me and I appreciate it. So thank you for having me on here.
Thank you so much for coming in. Good luck with all the stuff coming up. We know you're going to get another podium.
Thanks.
Is that what it's called?
Oh my God, look at you in your terms.
The podium.
Wow.
And Colton and Gus, good luck with the acting. I think you should pursue it.
Thanks. I think. Yeah, that's what I want to do. So
it ain't easy out here. That's for sure. He can tell you that.
I can attest.
It ain't easy.
I'm barely surviving. But back to you guys.
No, you have a movie, Gnome again?
No, it's a Gnome Alone.
Gnome Alone?
No, it's all good.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
You're doing good.
I'm on your podcast.
That's true.
Life's going great.
Colton, thanks for swinging by, man. And good luck with the meetings and everything. And everybody, thanks for listening. And Josh, thank you for coming in and subbing.
We're friends now.
I hope you had a good time.
This is a thing.
Matt, my number's written down for you still. But also Colton, if you feel like adding that to your phone or whatever, don't.
I gotcha. Adorable. All right. Too much for me now. We're going to peace out. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.
Colton, if you want to adopt me, feel free.